Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let us first give honor to God, through whom all blessings flow. I have a couple things that I need to share with you, and Pastor Campbell talked about how this came about. This was a conversation on Friday, Friday evening. Lisa and I were still away. We returned to Philadelphia late yesterday evening. I first want to start with a passage, and then I have some thoughts that I'd like to share. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I've tried to live by those words in the course of my work in service to the city of Philadelphia. Serving the Lord in each and every day, saying a prayer for all of us, first in the morning, last thing at night. This, of course, is a great, great church, the Mount Carmel Baptist Church, with a great, great leader, the Reverend Dr. Albert F. Campbell, Sr. Please recognize him. And he, as he has done with me, let me also recognize our great mom, Mom Campbell. Yeah. To the deacons and deaconesses and the board of trustees, all the members and the groups and organizations, and I saw as they were passing, many of the members of the choir, many of you will recall that the choir took off 20-some-odd years ago. As soon as I got off the choir, they started singing a whole lot better. But I do thank them, and many of them acknowledge our connection. I come today with a number of thoughts, and Pastor is correct. We had some general conversation. He does not know exactly what I'm going to say, and that's a testament to our relationship. It's a relationship that goes back a good long way, and some of you I've, of course, known for a long time, and some may be newer, so let me just share a little bit. The first time I came to Mount Carmel Baptist Church was on May 12, 1985. I was working on a political campaign, and many of us, of course, remember the events of that day and the next day. And Philadelphia has not been the same since. It was the first time I came to this church. It was the first time I heard Reverend Campbell preach. A year later, in 1986, I joined this church. I've been a member of this church for 25 years. I'm 54 years old. And no, you don't see me all the time, and no, I'm not here all the time, but let me assure you that I'm around. And I've been in this church on some pretty important occasions for me and my family. 25 years ago, I became a member. 5 years later, I walked down this aisle. In July of 1991, with Lisa Johnson, and we were married right here 20 years ago, last month, in Mount Carmel Baptist Church. People talk about sustainability. Well, that's sustainability, because anybody who can put up with me for 20 years deserves something. Please recognize my wife, Lisa. Four years later, 16 years ago, my daughter was christened here. You've seen her on a couple occasions. 5 years ago, in the summer of 2006, Reverend Imam Campbell stood with me on a porch on Parkside Avenue, where I announced that I was running for mayor. Well, no one thought that we had not one chance anywhere. I'm in church. And about 3.5 years ago, Reverend Campbell was on the stage of the Academy of Music, participating in the inaugural celebration on January 7th, 2008. And we prayed together. Many of you may not know that Reverend Campbell, Reverend Allen, Reverend Good, have prayer with me on a regular basis, because in this job, you need some prayer. So we have a history, and we have a relationship. And what I also know is that Reverend Campbell doesn't have each and everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry up in this pulpit. So I recognize that this is a very special granting. And I also told him on Friday, I understand that I'm not the preacher of the hour. This is the first Sunday in August and Communion Sunday. So I'm going to be brief. Now I must say first, two things. One, some of you may know that 30 Americans died overseas. An elite unit of our military. And whether you agree with our foreign policy or not, I would certainly ask that you would pray for the men and women who risk their lives each and every day to make sure that we can enjoy the freedoms as Americans that some of us seem to take for granted. They're serving their country. Other people make the decision about what they do and where they go, but they're doing their job. And unfortunately, one of those 30 is the son of a Philadelphia police officer. So I would ask that you would keep all of them, and especially that Philadelphia family that's been affected, in your hearts. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning that I know from time to time many of you think but may not say. They will not be PC, but I told Reverend Campbell that I recognize that I'm in church and I'm in his pulpit, so I will certainly be respectful. On the other hand, there are some words that we know that are also found in the Bible. And I may use a few of those. Pastor mentioned that we've had some incidents in Philadelphia, the most recent of which was Friday before last. 20, 30 kids running around Center City. And it's happened in other parts of Philadelphia as well. A 16, a 17, a 19-year-old, and yes, an 11-year-old. And while I may have been out of my office, I was not out of communication. And I sent a message to Police Commissioner Ramsey the first thing that morning, as soon as I heard that report, read that report, that we have to do something. And we put our team together that day to start working on some things. And so I want to share my thoughts. The first is, this nonsense must stop. It must stop. If you want to act like a butthead, your butt is going to get locked up. And if you want to act like an idiot, move. Move out of this city. We don't want you here anymore. First, I want to apologize. I want to apologize to all the good, hardworking, caring people here in this city, and especially our good young people here in Philadelphia. But I have to tell you this morning that I am forced by the stupid, ignorant, and dumb actions of a few, that we will announce tomorrow actions that we will take that unfortunately will affect many here in our city. Parents, get your act together. Get it together. Get it together right now. You need to get hold of your kids before we have to. Parents who neglect their children, who don't know where they are, don't know what they're doing, don't know who they're hanging out with, you're going to find yourself spending some quality time with your kids in jail together. Together. Now, this stupid behavior requires a strong response. But I can assure you that we are not just going to be responding. We're going to be much more proactive in our activities, and we're going to try our best to anticipate some of these senseless, teenage, insane acts that we've been seeing over the past few months. Parents, mothers, and fathers. Now, I happen to know that raising children is kind of tough. Yeah. I've got two kids, mm-hmm. one of whom is a teenager right now. Mm-hmm. If you need help, we have help for you. Mm-hmm. Department of Human Services, Community Behavioral Health, and many other social service agencies. Do not be afraid, do not be ashamed to reach out and ask for help, counseling, mm-hmm. guidance, or support. But you need to get the help now before it's too late for the help to help you. Get some help. Now, fathers. Fathers. Fathers have a particularly important role to play. Not more important than mothers, but just as important. You know, you're not a father just because you have a kid or two or three. That doesn't make you a father. Father is a person who's around, participating in a child's life. It's a teacher, helps to guide and shape and mold that young person. Someone for that young person to talk to share with their ups and their downs, their fears and their concerns. Father has to provide instruction to a young boy on how to become a good man. Yeah. Yeah. A good man.
Good man.
The father also has to be a good role model, to help a young girl be a strong woman. Now let me just say this. If you're not doing those things, if you're just hanging out there, maybe you're sending a check or bringing some cash by, that's not being a father. You're just a human ATM. You're just an ATM. And if you're not providing the guidance and you're not sending any money, you're just a sperm donor. You're just a sperm donor. You're what the girls call out in the street, that's my baby daddy. That's my baby daddy. That's not good enough. Don't be that. Don't be that. You can do better than that. And you know something? That's part of the problem in our community. Let me speak plain. That's part of the problem in the black community. And many other communities. But a particular problem in the black community is we have too many men making too many babies that they don't want to take care of, and then we end up dealing with your children. We're not running a big babysitting service. We're running a big government and a great city. Yeah. Take care of your children. Yeah. Yeah. All of them. All of them. You know, you're sitting around with your jaws tight. Oh, she got two or three other guys around. Well, if you were doing what you were supposed to be doing, she wouldn't be with the other two or three guys in the first place, because you would be there taking care of all your children. Now, you are around for the sex. Now be around for the parenting. Be around for the parenting. Because let me tell you something. The immaculate conception of our Lord Jesus Christ took place a long time ago. And it didn't happen here in Philadelphia. So every one of these kids has two parents who were around and participating at the time. They need to be around now. Ain't no immaculate conception happening up in here. Parents, you need to step up, for we have to step to you. Now tomorrow, at 12 noon on Dilworth Plaza, we'll be making a series of announcements. Got a ton of folks involved in this effort. It's not a one-time thing, it's not a summertime thing. I heard a child say amen. Some of them smarter than some of these adults running around. Tomorrow we're going to announce a series of steps and actions that we'll be taking. Some will be positive, and some you won't like. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But some of the more positive things we're looking at is programs and services and activities at our rec centers, other supports we may be able to provide. We're going to get our social service agencies involved, but also the DA will be more involved, and the courts will be more involved. Now, we took a whole lot of stuff a couple years back. Mm-hmm. And by the way, every one of those libraries is open. Yeah. Tell your children, get a book. Read a book. Learn something. School will open September 6th on Tuesday, day after Labor Day. Spend the next month reading. How about try that for a change? Whatever you do, just stay out of trouble. Think for yourself. Yeah. Don't do stupid stuff. Now, some of you know, I grew up 9 blocks from here. 5519 Larchwood Avenue. I'm gonna be West Philly no matter where I live, no matter what I do, for the rest of my life. And before I ever heard of the Philadelphia Code or the Pennsylvania Code or any other code, I was very familiar with the Basil and Catalina Code. That's a code of my parents. Now, I have to tell you, when I heard this particular report, and we've had other instances, but it is inconceivable to me, that in my teenage years, that I would be out somewhere, let alone downtown, at 9 o'clock at night. Impossible for me to fathom, because my mother said, boy, I know you have a watch, but if the watch stops working, if you forget to wind it, if the battery breaks, there's only one thing you need to do. Look up. When that light goes on, have your butt on the steps. I don't care whether it's Eastern Standard Time, Daylight Saving Time, Pacific Time, Mid-Atlantic Time, North Pole Time. When that light goes on, have your butt on the steps. Don't let me have to look for you. Now, that's what she said. So it's real easy. Real simple. And you know, I know a lot has happened in the 40 years since I was an early teen. I know that some things have changed. But now there are a few things that don't or shouldn't change. Respect other people. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch what doesn't belong to you or what you didn't earn. Keep your butt in the house or on the steps until you're told otherwise. And mind your manners. Now, my parents made it very clear that these were their rules. And that as long as I lived in their house, that was it. See, because I didn't own anything in that house. And I had a job. And I bought stuff with my own money. But when I crossed that threshold, it was theirs. That room, we'll let you sleep in that room. This air conditioning, we let you have some of that air conditioning. That heat that I pay for, we let you have some of that heat. Those clothes on those clothes. I brought you in here, I'll take you out of here. So let's be very clear about some rules. Now, when you get old enough and you move out, then you can do what you want to do. But as long as you're living in this house, you do what I tell you to do. And that's the way it was. Well, that's the way it needs to be. Now, parents, please talk to your children. Talk to them today after service. Talk to them tonight. Talk to them tomorrow, because things are going to change. This is some serious stuff. This is not a joke. It's not a game. We're not funny. The curfew is going to be enforced. Other things are going to happen. And they need to understand that there are serious consequences to aggressive, violent, idiotic, stupid behavior. Not only for the teen, but also for the parents or the guardians. Everybody is going to be held accountable in this one. We're taking these steps for the safety of all of our citizens and our teenagers. We want to make sure that they don't either do something that's going to get them in trouble or be somewhere where they may get hurt. This is about all of us. It's about everybody. And so let me say again, the bottom line, this nonsense must stop right now. Right now. And lastly, to our teenagers. You know, young people always talk about, well, I got to get respect. You get respect when you give respect. That's how you get respect. And I believe in my heart and in my soul that 99% of the young people here in the city of Philadelphia are good and have good intentions in their heart. So I don't want anyone to think that we've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and untold numbers of bad young people running around, because we don't. We have some really great young people in this city. They go to school. They try to get good grades and try to graduate and go on with their lives. They participate in sports, art, music, poetry, cultural services. They're out tutoring. Some of them have jobs and they're working. Some are taking care of their siblings, parents, and even grandparents. Unfortunately, there's a few. Could be 100, could be a couple hundred, could be 1,000. That's still less than 1%. But there's some really bad ones. And unfortunately, they engage in violent behavior. They're lawless. They act with ignorance. They don't care about anybody else. And their behavior is outrageous. Well, we're not going to tolerate that. We won't tolerate it, and we're not going to excuse it, because there is no excuse for it. Sense and nonsense cannot exist in the same place, in the same city, in the same world, and it's not going to happen here in Philadelphia. You can't have both at the same time. Can't have both. And so this behavior could have actually resulted in even more injuries or worse. They could have killed somebody. Oh, then they'd really be in a world of trouble. Then all of a sudden they'd be crying. I want my mom. I need my dad. I need somebody. No, it's too late then. No. We're past that. It's too late. You've damaged yourself, you damaged another person, you've damaged your peers, and quite honestly, you damaged your own race.
Yeah.
You damaged your own race. So to our young people, if you want black folks, if you want white folks, Latinos, Asians, or anybody else to respect you and not be afraid when they see you walking down the street, than leave the innocent people who are walking down the street, minding their own damn business, leave them alone. Stop it. Cut it out. We've had enough of this nonsense going on. We've had enough. And some of them should be ashamed of their behavior. And some of them have made shame on our race. I'm speaking plainly. I'm telling you what's on my heart. It's a disgrace what's going on. Not one of these victims, not one, did anything to any one of those young people. They weren't bothering them. They didn't say anything to them. They were minding their business. Some were out enjoying themselves. Some were just coming from work. They didn't do one thing. And then all of a sudden, for the cowards that some of them are, in the crowd, thought they were anonymous, jumped up and started beating on people, assaulting them in the streets of this city. Well, you know, now, if that was one of their friends, if that was their brother, if that was their sister, their moms, their grandmoms, somebody, they'd say, oh, that ain't right. That's wrong. Well, it's wrong when you do it, too. It's wrong when you do it, too. And so if you want to be aggressive, we're going to be aggressive. And let me just share this with you. We got the biggest, baddest gang in town. A committed group of citizens and a committed government, and we're working together, and we're not going to have this nonsense anymore. And lastly, let me say, some of those young folks are lucky. They're lucky that one of those citizens didn't jump up and start whipping their butt, which clearly they did not have enough of when they were young themselves. They're lucky they didn't get themselves beat up with this nonsense. So let me close. We want a safe city. We will not tolerate ignorant, stupid, out of control behavior that hurts our citizens, damages property, and besmirches our reputation as a great city. And so to all of our young people, but a particular message to our young African-American boys and girls. Let me say this. If you want all of us, black, white, or any other color, if you want us to respect you, if you want us to look at you in a different way, if you want us not to be afraid to walk down the same side of the street with you, if you want folks not to jump out of the elevator when you get on, if you want folks to stop following you around in stores when you're out shopping, if you want somebody to offer you a job or an internship somewhere, if you don't want folks to be looking in or trying to go in a different direction when they see 2 or 20 of you coming down the street, then stop acting like idiots and fools out in the streets of the city of Philadelphia. Just cut it out. And another thing, take those doggone hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up and buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the back of your butt. Nobody. Buy a belt. Buy a belt. Nobody wants to see your underwear. Comb your hair and get some grooming skills. Around here with your hair all over the place. Learn some manners. Keep your butt in school. Graduate from high school. Go on to college so you can go and make something of yourself and be a good citizen here in this city. And why don't you work on extending your English vocabulary? Extend your English vocabulary beyond a few curse words that you know. Some other grunts and grumbles and other things that none of us can understand what you're saying. And if you go to look for a job, don't go blame it on the white folks or anybody else. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and the pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, you do those things, act like you got some sense, you'd be surprised what opportunities will open up to you. That's what was on my mind. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mayor.